Thanks for taking some time to listen to this message on the Elevate Church podcast. We believe that God will speak to you wherever you are. Now let's prepare our hearts and hear what God has for us today.
Come on, we stand on the faithfulness of God. He is the same God that he was back then, the same God that we read about in Scripture, which, can I tell you, that means if he healed somebody back then, come on somebody, he will heal you now. If he provided back then, come on, he will provide right now. It's who he is. He's faithful. This is not just theory. It's the presence of God. It's the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on. And so his presence is here. The same presence is here. And so the most important thing that we can do is to acknowledge his presence. And so would you acknowledge it with me this morning in prayer? Father, we come before you. Father, thank you for your presence. God, we thank you for your faithfulness. God, we thank you for your love towards us. We thank you for your mercy towards us, God, your grace, God. God, we thank you for who you are. You are a good God. You are a loving God. God, we thank you for providing. God, we thank you for healing right now. We thank you for healing. You are healing us of things, God, we don't even know we need healed from, because that is who you are. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you, God. As we open up your word today, God, may our eyes be open to see, God, what you would reveal to us about your character, God. May our ears and our hearts, God, be open to receiving, God, and recognizing your character and your nature and all that you've done for us. Father, we thank you. We give you glory this morning. We give you all the honor this morning. God, you are the one who deserves it. And so, Father, we praise your name. We give you glory. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you today. Would you give me strength? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on. So good to see you guys. Why don't you go ahead and give a burning questions fist bump to somebody around you? And listen, I don't know what that means either, but that's okay. You can just make it up if you want. And would you also do me a favor and welcome every single person who's in our overflow and those that are online right now? We're so glad you're part of our church community. Thank you for working with our team as they're trying to get seats and make some room in here as well. And yeah, awesome. Isn't it amazing to see what God's doing in this place? Come on, so good. So good. Hey, my name is Will. If we haven't had the chance to meet yet, my name is Will. How about that? I'm one of our pastors, first time. One of our pastors here, and just really honored to be able to teach and preach to you today and every opportunity that I get to week in and week out, you know, over the weeks and years that I've had the opportunity to do so. It's amazing. I'm so thankful for it. And to serve underneath the leadership of an amazing lead pastor and Pastor Colby Atkins. Come on, somebody. He's incredible. And I think he's like either just getting back or he's almost back, or maybe he's still sleeping in from getting back last night, something like that, of a little R&R vacation over the last few days. And so I have no clue what he's going to preach on next week, but can I tell you, if he's a little bit rested, you do not want to miss next week. So just like, yeah, you're here, right? Just be here. It's going to be amazing. So excited for him to be back next week. But I'm also excited for today and week two of this series, Burning Questions. Before we dive in, before we get into today's question, I do want to share with you and give you just a really quick update of what we're really excited about moving forward as a church. And so here's what we know. I know many of you are new friends here, if you will, like you've been maybe just checking out the church today, maybe for the first time, but many over the last few months as well. So you maybe have no clue what I'm about to share, and that's awesome, because now you'll find out with everybody else who maybe already does know. We truly believe, here's what we believe as a church, that we are uniquely positioned in this city and in this community to make a difference in a global way, in a national way. And I say that like not like to brag on us, but like in a confident humility of what we believe that the Lord has placed upon this house. But also we know that we are uniquely called directly here to Erie as well, to make a massive difference here. And I truly believe that. And I say all that because we are in the groundwork of a little building project, we'll call it. So we'll put this up on the screen. This is what's happening right now in the process. This is what we are going to be seeing over the next few months in like a year or so, whatever, something like that to come. And let me give you a little bit of a framework of what you're looking at, because you're like, I don't understand. I see grass. I know. Isn't that amazing? Like, it doesn't have to be a concrete jungle anymore. So this would be like if you are here and you're in the room or you're in Overflow, like you're coming in from Firestone. This would be the view that you would see, okay? This is kind of our first time guest area. Green space, come on somebody. There's about a 9 or 10,000 square foot addition to the building that we currently have, right? There's a food truck there. Don't know what we're eating, but tacos sound good. That sounds great. And so you'll be able to see this, and there's some other, maybe another view we have here of the front of the building, kind of get to see kind of the framework there, and this kind of gives you a good picture. Yeah, absolutely, praise God for that. And so like where you see like the awning coming off of, like that's our existing building, kind of everything to the right is new. And so come on, you see people hanging out in there, that's awesome. So we're gonna have a place to just to like have great community together, and you'll be able to see a little bit of what the inside of the addition will look like, a little bit of an idea, and there'll be some more pictures and things that we'll be able to share over the next few months. And I say all that because we shared this around Christmas time and talked through some of those different things during our Kingdom Builders offering and everything. And you might have been like, well, where are we at, Will? Like, I don't see anything going on. Can I tell you, it's like a duck on water. The architects, the engineers, the builders, and all the people who know a lot of stuff are working really hard. And even though we don't see a lot of stuff moving, there's a lot moving. And so hopefully over the next month or so, we're going to have the opportunity to share with you maybe a little bit of the timeline of what that's going to look like when we start digging a little bit into the new building. We're so excited for what God is doing. And we truly, like, it's not just to add a building or add space to the building, right? Like, we know that. This is really, I truly visualize it as, like, the headquarters of the kingdom of God right here in Erie to make amazing difference right here into our community, to provide a space that goes beyond just the four walls of this church and to be an impact into the community in an amazing way. And so excited. Here's what I know, church, is that the future is so bright. And the best days are ahead. And so I'm so excited for what God is doing as he just looks to continue to build his relationship here with each of us. And I know sometimes as we talk about a relationship with God, and where maybe you are in the room and kind of thinking about that, a lot of times we think of it from like a father-son relationship, maybe even father-daughter relationship, right, depending. But there's also the aspect that God wants to actually partner with you. Like the relationship with God also looks like a partnership. In fact, that's not just like a little bit of the plan of God that he wants to work in. It's like you are a vital part of the plans of God. I need you to know that this morning, that God desires to partner with you in what he is doing here in Erie, what he's doing here in this church, what he's doing beyond our walls, into the community, across state lines, wherever it may lead. He wants to partner with us with him. And so today I bring that up because we're in Burning Questions, part two. Last week, if you were here, we talked about and answered the question, why? It's a great question that we've all asked. I know I've asked numerous times. My two-year-old daughter asked me that right now too, which is exciting. But if you missed that question, if you missed that week, I encourage you to go on our YouTube or on the podcast, however you want to go back and rewatch that. It's an incredible message. But today, our burning question is, who is the Holy Spirit? Burning question today that I want to help us, guide us, and lead us into understanding who is the Holy Spirit. Now, depending on your background in church, you either just got super fired up and you're like, yes, you're like getting the flags out and you're getting ready to like go like get rowdy, right? Like, please stay seated, right? Others of you, you've been to that kind of church and you're like, oh man, I'm super uncomfortable. Like they're going to bring snakes out or something. Can I tell you, we are neither of those, right? But here's what I need you to know, is we talk about the Holy Spirit, and that can be uncomfortable for some people, but this is such a vital aspect to our faith. The Holy Spirit does not make you weird. You were already weird. And then, right? We got a weird church. If you're online, you heard that. So let me ask you something. Have you ever met somebody, maybe through a friend of a friend, like you? So, like, maybe you went to a wedding, and you were there, and you met somebody who you've never met before, and you just instantly become, like stepbrothers. Like, did we just become best friends? Yes, we did. Like, you are so connected. It's rowdy. It's amazing. Like, I've got a friend like this. He's friends of, like, one of my best friends. His name is Garrett. And I met, when I was at Garrett's house for whatever we were doing, I met this guy. His name's Travis. And Travis and I, like, it got rowdy. Like, we were cracking jokes, busting up on each other, making fun of Garrett. Like, it was amazing. We had so much fun together. Like, awesome. Like, me and this dude, like, it was absolutely incredible experience. And we were just having so much fun, whatever. We're like, dude, we should totally get together. Yeah, right. Like, all this kind of stuff. And you know as much as I do. How many of you know? We did not get together after that. In fact, the next time I saw him was like a year later for the same event at Garrett's house. Why? Because in the moment, we can feel like best friends. The encounter, the experience that we have, whatever it may be, we feel like, man, I'm best friends and we're awesome and it's gonna be amazing. But honestly, if we step back a little bit and I define that relationship, I would even say we were acquaintances at best. Why? Because I didn't know him. I met him twice. Over a period of 2 years, I met the person twice. So therefore, I don't know him personally. There's no intentionality in the relationship. There's nothing there. And why do I tell you that story? Because I believe and I fear that for many of us, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're just acquaintances. We had an encounter, maybe in a moment. Maybe we went to a conference or to a retreat and we had this encounter, this experience with the Holy Spirit. And yet, if we looked back, we'd say, I really don't know who the Holy Spirit is. Like God the Father, all for it. God the Son, like Jesus, all for it. But the Holy, like, can we just, I've seen YouTube videos. It's a little strange. And so we're just acquaintances with the Holy Spirit. And so here's why we need to talk about this today. This is such a vital aspect of our faith in Jesus. And so my goal is to be able to give us some handles to guide us along, to recognize who the Holy Spirit is. Because if we don't, we are missing out on 1/3 of who God is. And if we miss out on 1/3 of who God is, we can have an encounter and yet still miss him. In fact, that's not just theory. That's actually biblical. There's a story in Acts chapter 14. We're not going to put this up on the screen or anything, but in Acts 14, this is Paul and Barnabas. They're traveling around. They're preaching. They're teaching. They're doing all these amazing things, and they're sharing the gospel, the good news about who Jesus is, and people are coming. They're getting saved. They're doing these miracles that they've been graced and given the opportunity to do so through the Holy Spirit. And they're doing it, and they get to this place in Lystra, and they show up on the scene, and there's this guy who was lame, the Bible says. And next thing you know, they pray for him, they tell him to get up, and he's healed. Amazing. But the community of Lystra did not recognize what was happening. They did not see what was going on. And so they called Paul and Barnabas the lower G gods that they thought were was happening of Zeus and Hermes. Let me ask you, did the miracle happen? Yeah. Was God's presence there? Yeah, but they missed it. Why? Because they could not see what God was doing through it because they missed out on who the Holy Spirit was. So we can have an encounter even today, but yet if we miss out on who God is and what he is doing through the Holy Spirit, we wake up tomorrow like it's nothing new. And we live our lives just continually over and over again. And so today we're going to talk about who the Holy Spirit is. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in John 16. If you don't have a Bible, it's going to be up on the screen or ask our team. We'd love to get one to you. And I know when we talk about the Holy Spirit, sometimes, let's be real, even in my own life, I like pigeonhole, like we're only going to talk about the book of Acts, as I even just mentioned. And we think that like, oh, the Holy Spirit just shows up on the scene in Acts and does all these amazing things. And yes, the Holy Spirit was there in Acts and very prevalent, and there was a lot going on. He's mentioned a lot, sure. But the Holy Spirit is actually there from the very beginning. In fact, you can't even go 2 verses in Scripture without seeing that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Holy Spirit was present from the very beginning all the way through into the Old Testament. We need to recognize that the Holy Spirit is not just something or just someone. He is God. In fact, the answer to today's question is the Holy Spirit is God. We need to know that. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. And because he's God, he is holy. He's set apart. He's not just something that we can think about every once in a while. He is God. And let me define that a little bit because I know sometimes we can think about that like, oh, of course he's God. Okay, got it, whatever. Yet we still miss out on who he is because we don't recognize what he's doing. Why is he God? There are 3 persons to the Trinity. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, as followers of Christ, we don't worship multiple gods. Like, that's not what this is meaning. It is one God, three persons, co-equal, and fully divine. So when I say that the Holy Spirit is God, that's what I'm talking about. It's the Trinity of what God's word teaches us and tells us. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is all present and all powerful. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is God. And we can't experience the full life that Christ says that we can experience without recognizing the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we'd be missing out on a vital part of who God is. And so the answer to today's question, we can pack up and go home, right, is who is the Holy Spirit? The answer is God. But that just because we know that doesn't mean we can actually do anything with it, right? Because we struggle with that still from time to time. So I want to give you just a few characteristics and some, this is not going to be an all-inclusive kind of thing. We would have to teach on the Holy Spirit for a number of weeks to even scratch the surface. But today I want to give you just a few things about the Holy Spirit. The first thing is that the Holy Spirit is the advocate. The advocate. What do I mean by that? An advocate, right, champions or supports like a cause, maybe like publicly, based on convictions that you have privately. If you're an advocate to something, right, you don't just all of a sudden like, I'm going to go and like stand for this. No, there's a conviction personally that you have that you then publicly go and declare. Are you with me? And so the Holy Spirit is the advocate to Christ for us, meaning in our lives, he will guide, he will counsel, he will direct, he will lead, and support us in ways that lead to Christ. He's the advocate. The Holy Spirit takes us into a deeper relationship and partnership with God than we could ever do by ourselves. Listen, there's not a person anywhere who can be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. In fact, you can't even understand the fullness of being a Christian without the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's the advocate. And I'm not just making that up. It's in Scripture. John 16, and Jesus is teaching all of these to his disciples, talking about some things. And he says, very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away, meaning I'm going to be ascending to the Father. It's your good. Because unless I go away, the advocate, AKA Holy Spirit, who is the advocate, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Because the disciples were like, wait, if you leave, then what happens? And all this kind of stuff. And Jesus is like, hey, if I go, I'm going to send the advocate who will guide you, lead you, direct you into a deeper relationship with me. He's the advocate. And he's going to guide us in what way? Well, continue down in verse 13. It says, when he, as in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Into all truth, not your truth, not my truth, into the truth, the absolute truth of God's word. Here's what we need to recognize. The Holy Spirit is God. And he's the advocate, leading us, guiding us towards this deeper relationship with Christ, championing us along in the journey. Here's the way I wrote it down yesterday. It's that the Holy Spirit is the means in which we can engage in the supernatural in accordance to God's will. Meaning we can engage into the things of God, into the supernatural, into an area in a way that I don't necessarily understand fully, but in accordance to God's will. And we'll talk about that as we continue on. So we need to recognize who is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. We need to recognize that not only is he God, there's a plan and a purpose as well. He's the advocate guiding us and leading us. And he's also has these other characteristics as well that I'm going to give you as we continue on. Another one you need to know is the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. That's pretty awesome, right? Like online, that's pretty awesome. We can get some gifts from God. Come on, somebody. They're not too excited in the room, but I know you're excited at home on your couch. These are gifts that will transform us, or transform our lives. They will redeem us to live in the purposes and the calling that God has for us. They're gifts that he gives. And here's the kicker. Whatever your gifts are online, like, they're not for you. That's the kicker. They're actually for other people. And praise God for that. So if we know that he gives us gifts, and the question is, what are they? So we have a part to play, right? We're a partnership. Partnership is not a one-sided thing. Partnership is like, we're gonna work together on this. And so how do we know what our gifts are? Well, the first thing we need to do is to discover our gifts, right? You gotta be able to discover it. God gives us things not to hide it from us. He gives it to us so we can understand more about them. And I'm gonna speak lightly on this because in about an hour, we're gonna be in Explore Step 2. If you're a part of Explore, maybe you're not and you wanna jump in that today, we talk and get real deep into this. And we talk through how do you discover your gifts. We take things like a spiritual gifts assessment, which is a great tool to help guide you along in the way and how God has wired you. But you can also look at things like how has God wired you in a sense of what are your past experiences? Maybe you always find yourself into a group of people and they're looking for you to lead the charge. Okay, well, maybe there's a gift of leadership there, right? Maybe you always find yourself with people who are hurting and broken, and yet for some reason, you're always the one who can speak that word of encouragement. Okay, well, maybe there's a gift of encouragement there. You can look at some things in your life, but we need to be able to discover what God has deposited in you. If we don't, we miss out on a vital piece of our lives, of the partnership. Let me put a few of them up on the screen with you. In Romans 12, it says this, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." So we're one body in Christ, but we're individual members, meaning we got a part to play, but we're all still connected and in support of one another. AKA, you want unity, the Holy Spirit brings unity to the church, unity to each other. And in verse 6, it says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, hey, serve. If it's teaching, teach. If it's to encourage, give encouragement. If it's to give, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Now, this is not an exhaustive list, but it shows us a great framework for some of the gifts that God has given us. And you can dive more into those as we talk about them and explore and into God's word together. But a few things that are super important is we need to recognize that, yes, we are all part of the body of Christ, but there's individual members, meaning we have a part to play as in an individual. But we also need to recognize that we are outfitted by the Holy Spirit himself. Did you catch that? It said that according to the we have different gifts according to the grace given to us, which means it's not a Holy Spirit buffet of spiritual gifts. We don't just wake up and all of a sudden we're gonna like, I'm gonna scoop a little bit of that. I want the gift of giving. I want this gift of prophecy today. I want a little scoop of that. I'm gonna skip the salad, but I'll take this one, right? We don't just get to wake up and pick and choose today, God, this is what I want from you. No, why? Because the gifts are not for you, they're for others. They've been given to you. You did not earn them. But there's gifts like leadership, as we see. There's acts of service. I mean, we had a team down at the Erie City Mission yesterday serving and being a part of that. Why? Because they're serving and using. They've discovered what their gifts are, and they're putting them into practice, which is the thing that we need to recognize is to develop our gifts. We need to discover what they are, and yet we also need to develop them as we go. Meaning, put them to use. Step out on faith, right? Acting according to the faith. If you've got the gift, it does nothing if you put it on the shelf and just look at it. You've got to actually use it. God entrusts you to use it. Steward it well. Development occurs when the gifts that have been deposited in you are put to use for others. We need to develop the gifts that we have. And guess what? It happens over time. It's not just in a moment, I got the gift, I'm good to go. No, we got to step out and do it. And that's one of the reasons why I love our church, is because we are a multi-generational church. People who are new to the faith, some have been in the faith for 20, 30, 40, 50 years even, but we're all just a bunch of people trying to develop what God is doing inside of us. And maybe today you're checking that out for the first time, and that's awesome. But that's who we are. God wants to partner with us, just developing within our gifts. The third thing within gifts that I can give you is we need to then deploy our gifts. We got to discover what they are. We got to start figuring out how we're going to use them. But then we got to get ourselves into a position or into a place where we can actually use the gifts. And here's the thing. We don't worship the gift that we've been given. We worship the one who gave the gift. And so whatever the gift you have and the position that you have, don't be so focused on that. Focus in on what God is doing through that. Don't fuss on your gifts or somebody else's gifts. Well, he's got a gift of leadership and so does he. And so why am I not in that same kind of position? Well, maybe there hasn't been development yet. Maybe there hasn't been enough training for you to go through. Like, lean in. You might have a greater gifting than your current role or position. But can I tell you to keep working at it? Keep developing. Be found faithful where you are. Trust that God sees you and let him do the promotion. Because if you try to promote yourself too soon, you're gonna fail and you're gonna be frustrated with God. Like, God, why would you lead me into that? Well, maybe he didn't lead you into it. You just skipped the development process. You recognize what you've got. Like, you recognize you've got this gift with kids and like, so amazing, a kid. I'm like a kid magnet, and they're high-fiving, and we could bring joy, whatever. And maybe you're like, I'm gonna start a daycare. And so you go to start a daycare, and next you know, hundreds of kids show up, and you're like, I'm not ready for that. Well, maybe, just maybe, your development process looks like serving in the kids area with a manageable number and seeing how God can use you there to then redeem it somewhere else. Maybe it's just a stepping stone for you to work through what God is doing. Because the ultimate purpose of these gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us is to build up the church. It's to build up one another as a community as a whole. So hey, if you're prompted to share something with somebody, experience what it feels like to actually share it. Maybe you've got a word of encouragement. I feel like I just need to tell you this. Well, tell them. Try it. And if they're like, that's actually not encouraging. Okay, you tried it. If you feel like you've got a gift to lead, well, start a small group. Like, lead. Start something. See how God would develop the gift that you have as you deploy it, as you step out on faith, as we develop these, as we deploy them, we recognize in a greater way how we are part of God's plan right here in Erie and beyond. Here's what we also need to know about the Holy Spirit, is that the Holy Spirit lives in us. Jesus, he's teaching in John 14, his disciples, and he's like, hey, I'm going to be going, and all this kind of stuff. He's like going back and forth. He's like, hey, the advocate's going to come with you. He's going to be with you forever. And then verse 17 says, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. Hey, the world doesn't see the Holy Spirit or know him, aka the world's an acquaintance to the Holy Spirit, but not you, right? You know him. You're a friend. You're not an acquaintance, you're a friend, for he lives with you and will be in you. And this is like one of the coolest verses in all of Scripture, because it's like, wait a second, when I look in the mirror, I don't just see Will, I see the house of God. I see, wait a second, the presence of God, the literal presence of God of the Holy Spirit is living inside of this body. Come on, somebody, right? And yours. It's not just me. This is a we thing. As followers of Christ, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And so we need to take care of it. We got to clean the house up a little bit. We got to make sure, you know, like, we got plenty of years for this house to stay standing. I don't want it to fail too soon. We're literally housing the Spirit of God. And this is different than in the Old Testament. I know I talked about the Holy Spirit was around from the beginning, and he is and he was. Well, the Holy Spirit would, in the Old Testament, would sort of come upon somebody. You read that in Scripture. Came upon them to prophesy, to these prophets to speak and proclaim the truth to people. He would instruct the leaders of Israel. He would inspire people to write the scripture and to jot things down. But in my study of the Holy Spirit, I recognize, and at least in my knowledge at this point, I don't see anywhere where it says that the Holy Spirit indwells inside of anyone in the Old Testament until the New Testament when Jesus comes. And so when Jesus says, hey, the Holy Spirit is going to be in you, and it's a truth that he spoke, and it comes to pass. The Holy Spirit is in you. It'll be with you forever. And that has its own implications to it. It's its own guiding, own cleaning process, if you will. And here's what I want to give you as well. The Holy Spirit convicts us. And I know that's a tough word, but it's the right word. And if we're going to stand on the truth, we're going to stand on the words that may even don't feel good. But the Holy Spirit convicts us. What do I mean by that? John 16, if we go back to the story, starting in verse 8, it says, when he comes, as in the Holy Spirit, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world, as in the devil, now stands condemned because of the actions and what Jesus did. He will prove the world to be wrong about sin. Doesn't the world love sin? We see it everywhere. We see these things, but the Holy Spirit convicts us. Like, I remember when I first came in this relationship with Jesus and said yes to him, I remember exactly where I was. And I remember in those moments just saying, God, like, I'm putting my faith and my trust in you. I'm believing in Jesus. I'm giving my life to you. For whatever that means, here I am. Now, in that moment, I'm saved. However, doesn't mean my life was perfect. In fact, I still had bad decisions that I made that I had consequences for. I still had bad relationships that I needed to get right or remove. It wasn't like all of a sudden I give my life to Jesus and all of a sudden all my Beatles, like, records and all this kind of stuff just like burned. Like, it wasn't one of those old school burnouts. Remember those? Like, you'd bring all your cassettes to the thing, right? It wasn't like all those things happened in a moment. It was a process of the Holy Spirit reminding me and telling me of the things that I have missed the mark on, of my sin, convicting me of it, and the ability to lead me through it. Why? Because he's the advocate. He doesn't just point out and to heap shame on you of all the things that you're doing wrong. No, he's the advocate. He's championing you to live a better life with Christ. And that's what he does. He convicts us. And guess what? It's a journey. And I'm still on the journey. And you're still on the journey. We're saved in a moment, but we're set apart for a lifetime. It's part of the process of the Holy Spirit, what he's doing inside of you. So when you feel those promptings of, do I do that, do I not, listen in to what God may be revealing to you in those moments. We don't want to miss out on the Holy Spirit because we don't understand him. We need to recognize that he is God, that he's the advocate. Hey, he lives inside of you. He's given you some gifts. But he's also going to convict you. And that course correction may not feel good in the moment, but can I tell you from personal experience and many others in this room, would be able to say every single time I've listened in those moments, my life has always been better. What hurts in a moment may help in the long run. And so we need to realize and recognize the conviction that the Holy Spirit gives us. And I know we don't like to hear it, but without conviction, we could never have our sins forgiven. And without our sins being forgiven, we're never saved. And if we're not saved, guess what? There's no eternity in heaven with our Father. And so we need this kind of conviction in our lives. Another thing I want to give you is this morning is about the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit gives us new life. Holy Spirit gives us new life. In Ephesians 2, it says this, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, and those who are not following the ways of God, and those who are not letting the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit and guide them and lead them into all truth. We're dead. Like, we need to recognize that in our sin, we are dead towards God. But praise God, he's given us this lifeline of Jesus. And when we say yes to him, we are given a new life through the Holy Spirit. Why? Because Jesus lived, he died, and he rose again. And our relationship is now secure. And we are given a new life. Be encouraged. The Holy Spirit is God. And he's not there to heap shame or anything on you. He's there to guide you. He's the advocate. The Holy Spirit just wants you to live a better life and a life with Christ, to have this life that can be fully alive. He's championing Christ inside of you. You just need to recognize his presence is right there. You need to recognize what he's doing even in these moments. Maybe you've recognized that he's just been an acquaintance. But even in this moment, you realize that, hey, it's time to be a friend. I need to be intentional about it. I can't just see him once or twice a year. No, I want a better relationship with him. Who is him? He's God. And so would you stand with me this morning as we get ready to worship together and respond to God? I need us all to recognize that the presence of God is here. He's here. And because he's here, we can know him. We can see him. In fact, scripture invites us into this relationship with him. And I don't know where you stand on that, from no relationship to a great relationship, stronger than anyone else in the room. But guess what? You can still know him deeper. You just need to recognize who he is and what he's doing. And so in this moment, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Whether you're in the room, you're in Overflow, you're online, just in this holy moment, why do we bow our heads and close our eyes? Because maybe for the first time all week, you're still. Maybe you're able to recognize Jesus in this moment and the Holy Spirit and what he's doing. Just let him speak to you. Let him reveal some things to you. Let him revive some things inside of you. Just tell him, hey, I don't want to be an acquaintance anymore. God, I want to know you. I need to know your spirit. Maybe right now he's even pointing out some of the things that you need to course correct. Maybe some things that you need to step out in faith on. So Father, right now I pray for every single person that is in this room and under the sound of my voice, God, would you do what you said you would do, and that is be with us. And may we recognize your presence here in this place. And for every person who is here, God, may we see you in a new light this morning. May we recognize you in a new way. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your faithfulness. That your presence is here. And not only is it here, but we recognize it and we honor it. You are holy. And in this moment, there are those of you that are in this room that you, not only is the Holy Spirit not an acquaintance to you, you've never even heard of him. You don't even know who God is. You don't even have that relationship with him first. And maybe this moment is where the Holy Spirit is actually leading you into that relationship with God. How does that happen? We believe in faith of who Jesus is and what he's done. What has he done? He lived this perfect sinless life, not to condemn you, not to point fingers at you, but to show you a better way. And he lived this perfect life and he died criminal's death on the cross, the death that we actually all deserve for our sins. But he was risen again to new life, and the Holy Spirit gives us new life. And as he ascended to the Father, as he gives his spirit to us, and we enter into that relationship, this moment of salvation, it's really a moment that's the starting point to our faith. The Bible tells us we believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he's done what he said he's done, and we believe in faith that that matters for you, that we too can be saved. And so right now, just in this moment, I'm just gonna ask that you would acknowledge it. You would say yes to Jesus. If that's you in the room, that's you in the Overflow, that's you online. Just say yes to him. I'm gonna give you some language you can pray. You can say it out loud, you can whisper it, you can believe in your heart. Here's what I need you to know: that God sees you, God knows you, and God loves you. And he's right here, and he just wants you to acknowledge him. could say something as simple as this. Say, Jesus, today, I give you my life. I believe that you lived for me, that you died for me, and you rose again to give me new life. Holy Spirit, make me new. Today, I confess you as Lord and Savior of my life. And it's from this point on, I turn from my ways and I turn towards you. It's with all that I am, Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Come on, church, let's worship.
Thanks for checking out this week's message on the Elevate Church podcast. We hope you really enjoyed it. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, congratulations. Welcome to the family. We would love to know about it, so please let us know by going to elevatechurch.com/yes. There will be some practical resources to help you as you start this journey. If you want to support the mission and vision of Elevate, go to elevatechurch.com/give. Thank you for living generously. We hope you enjoyed this message. Have a great week.